Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 until they got smoked last night. Am I right?
Right.
I've got that right.
Well, they got that was a bad one last night, and they lost the middle game to Philadelphia over the weekend.
Okay. Didn't that end an 8-game winning streak?
Yeah.
Julio was due to get knocked around. You know,
he's been smooth as butter though the last few times out. Five, six, seven starts of him, he's been remarkable. And we're going to get into the reason for some of that, I think, coming up in the next segment. But yeah, he's been rock solid. Where are we on Mike Fultonevich?
I have to wonder personally if he's got a start number. We're going to give him X number additional starts moving forward, and if he hadn't got it all together in that span, he becomes a candidate for the bullpen.
Really?
Keuchel's obviously going to come back and take what was Gausman's spot. Obviously, Newcomb made the one start there, took the ball off the head the other day, went into concussion protocol today. You know, when he comes back, you know, Snitz basically indicated he's going to be bullpen again, and he pitched really, really well in the bullpen before that spot start on Saturday. If Keuchel rolls and Fulte gets it together, I think your starting five is set there, pending the possibility of some sort of a trade deadline move. You know, everybody loves to talk about Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
You make yourself better if you add him, but you're not going to give up much, I wouldn't think, for a rental like that. But they need more pitching to be a serious threat to the Dodgers over the long haul. And it needs to probably move into the starting rotation and bump somebody from the rotation into the bullpen, I think. Because going and getting bullpen help is not very easy. There's just not very many people out there that are worth sacrificing assets who are already bullpen pitchers.
That's kind of around the league.
Yeah, it's largely everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they're 1-8 in their everyday lineup, and their bench, I think they're just a tick behind the Dodgers right now.
That close?
I think they're closer than a lot of people probably do, personally. And they're ascending. They've got so many of these young players that are ascending literally by the day. And the Dodgers don't have as many people who I think are ascending. They got more people who are right there. They're at their they're redlining. They're at their max. The Braves have more maybe players than anybody in the National League. I don't know so much about the American League, who are ascending and just have unreal ceilings, if you ask me. I started saying a few weeks ago, we were at the NCAA regional over at Georgia Tech, Stan Autry and some others, and we were talking, and I said, my opinion is the Braves are going to win the division by at least 8 games. I think they're that good.
8 games?
I think they're that good. And I still think there's going to be some addition. I'll bet my bottom dollar Alex Anthopoulos is going to add to the pitching one way or another before it's all said and done. I think they're going to have no problem winning the division.
This weekend kind of makes you think that we kind of didn't know, because that first week of the season, the Phillies won in ways that just made you shake your head, you know, the way they looked. And we says, man, they lost McCutchen for the season.
There were a lot of chicken littles that first weekend. The sky's falling.
Yeah. I mean, that was tough. I could say, okay, we're supposed to be the defending, you know, division champions. We go to Philadelphia, and these guys, you know, run them off the field for 3 games. And then it's so long between that time and the time they get to play them again, and a whole lot of stuff happened, you know, with this Braves team. Talk about Austin Riley.
That's the craziest thing. That's the biggest thing, in my view. And not that this makes me special having this opinion, but that's the biggest thing that has happened between opening day and where the Braves are right now. Austin Riley has come up from Gwinnett and has not just been good. He's been ridiculous. Ridiculous. And the move, that coupled with the move of Acuna back to one and so forth, the lineup adjustment, dropping Ozzie down to the bottom half, they have a legitimate threat, especially with the catcher platoon of Flowers and McCann. McCann is anybody who said they expected this level of production from Brian McCann is lying to you.
We thought he was going to come here and be this big stabilizing force for the young pitchers,
sure,
you know, in the clubhouse and whatnot, and really got those guys. But he's giving you a bonus at the plate here.
Yeah, he's a leadership you thought you planned on, and spot start, hit a dinger or two now and then. Oh, man. He looks like he's 10 years younger these last few weeks.
Yeah. And thoroughly enjoying it. And one of the reasons why we have the guy on this team now who's going to start on Friday. He's one of the main reasons why we got Dallas Keuchel.
And I can't wait to see that. If he's 80% of the Dallas Keuchel we all recall from his Astro heyday, if he's 80% of that, the Braves are gold. And like I said, the division's I honestly think it's in the bag.
We're going to talk more about them coming up next segment. More Braves baseball, more talk we're going to have. Talk about the starting rotation. And then Mark Simon is going to join us later on this hour and talk more baseball talk and his perspective on what the Braves are doing and sizing things up. And, of course, we got the NBA. We Hawks got unloaded one of their second-round picks today. We knew that was going to be happening. And so that's already going on.
I won't be surprised if they unload another pick before it all goes down, before the draft goes down tomorrow.
Before tomorrow.
They still got five. Yeah. Technically, they got four. We talked about this before the show. They don't have the number 17 pick, technically, with all the goofy language the NBA operates under. The Nets still have that pick, so the Nets will have to execute the draft pick on the Hawks' behalf, just like the Pelicans will have to ask the Lakers to make the number 4 pick. But for all intents and purposes, they have five picks still. They're not going to add five rookies to that team.
No, zero chance. No. I'm excited. I'm giddy about it because they're going to do something to try to climb up to that 4 or 5 spot. That's what I think they're going to do. We'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour as well. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Braves baseball and the starting rotation. Things are getting a little bumpy. Are people getting a little nervous because Keuchel's in and somebody don't want to be out of a starting job? We'll talk about that and more. Sam and Matt, the nighttime here at Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you inside the Kia Studios. Prime time. They let me in here, folks. Along with Matt Winklejohn, and we've just been talking a lot of things on the eve of the NBA draft. We're going to get into that tonight. We're going to talk about that also in next hour. Talk about that some. And also Pete Prisco of CBS Sports. .com, someone that Matt knows very well, has unleashed his list of the top 100 players in the National Football League, and we're going to get into that, see where some of our Falcons rank or don't rank, and discuss those things and who he perceives to be the best players in the league. But we're going to get back into our baseball talk as the Braves are just underway out at SunTrust. I guess everybody's got their Ozzie Albies chains as they came into the to ballpark tonight. And you see, we can do against these Mets.
Well, they already got freed. McNeil led off with a double.
Yeah, and we saw a stat on him as he was warming up, Matt, before the game started. Last four starts, ERA at 7.54.
Yeah, he's been knocked around a little bit the last really 3 weeks or so after a fantastic, first month and a half of the season.
Yeah.
Month at least. But you couple that with Fulton Evich, who's obviously been sub last year by a mile.
Gausman
went over the cliff. He's now down in Florida on a rehab. I saw today they sent him down here for quote unquote rehab work with this alleged plantar fasciitis in his foot.
Is there something that we're reading into this?
It seems easy to wonder if there's more to it than that. I mean, there was no mention of him having any foot issues, you know, when he was struggling, and then he just got bombed one time too many, and boom, they send him down, and now he's going down there for quote-unquote rehab. Far be it for me to say he's not injured, that he doesn't have this plantar fasciitis or whatever. But he, it's pretty clear he wasn't pitching very well.
Yeah. Mike Soroka is still, pretty steady and record overall at 8-1. Like we mentioned earlier, we saw Julio Teheran get knocked around early last night, and if you're going to do that with Jacob deGrom on the mound against you, it doesn't take much for him, and that's kind of what happened last night. I'm wondering, though, if what's happening with this Braves starting rotation, some of it, was Could it be the result of the team making this move and signing a Dallas Keuchel to come on, and somebody knows that he's going to get somebody's starting spot? And do we have some rear ends getting a little tight when they go out to start? And I don't, you know, and the thing of it is, you want competition. It's all about competition. And usually that thing happens in spring training. You know, here's somebody who's dropping in right now almost midseason, and you know he's going to get a spot because of what he can bring. Good thing overall for the team. Could we be damaging some psyches maybe of some guys, because we know so much of what guys do when they take the mound in between their ears?
I think you're more likely to see, you know, the addition of Dallas Keuchel impact the psychology of younger players who have less tread, MLB tread, on their tires, so to speak. But I think for now it's pretty crystal clear what's happening. He's going to take what was the Gausman spot. If I'm Mike Soroka or Max Fried, I'm not probably bothered, certainly, by the addition of Dallas Keuchel in any way. Fulton Evich, you know, he tends to be a little bit here, there, up, down, left, right, top, bottom.
You think he was completely healthy?
Between the ears.
That's the thing that went by Hewitt. Did they rush him back?
I don't.
And why would they do that, considering what you want him to mean to your starting rotation?
It would be ridiculous to not at least leave open the question of his health, given his results this year, when you look at what he did last year, all-star last year, and just this year has not been, except for a couple starts, a fraction of what he was last year.
Yeah. Sam Crenshaw, Matt Winklejohn here in the Kia Studios, the Night Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 447-410-929. Also, join in the conversation at 447-410-929. If you're on your way to the ballpark, haven't got in there yet, first of all, you're late. And the Mets got a runner on third here. They're going to try to push a run over here in the first inning. But we're talking about the Braves. Obviously, we're proud of what this team is doing. Obviously, they're in first place at this juncture of the season. Yes, there's a lot more baseball to be played, and there's another meeting coming up with the Dodgers. You mentioned this team being right there with the Dodgers. And I don't know if that's – to me, that's hard to say, because while you mentioned the Braves players are trending up, you got young guys are trending up, the Dodgers are so there now, and the Mets just got a run on a grounder, sack grounder there. So they're on the board first. Mets have a 1-0 lead. The Dodgers are like – this is like a big year they have, that because they've gotten to the World Series and gotten turned back a couple of times.
That's right.
And this is prime time for that team. So it's no joke and no accident that when the Braves went out to L.A. and played them earlier this year, they kind of sent a message. And you may say it's early in the season to be, you know, have a message games or purpose games or whatever, but the Dodgers clearly sent a message when the Braves went to visit out there. Now, they got to come back this way. And a lot of things that you mentioned have happened with this Braves team since that time. Do we weigh a lot on the regular season meetings? Because we know if you're going to get anywhere – after October, you got to go through those guys.
Yeah, they're going to be in the way, period. That meeting out in L.A. was very different in that Austin Riley wasn't up yet. Acuna was hitting in the four spot at the time. Ozzie and or Ender were lead off at the time. A lot's changed. Ender's not even on this team right now. You know, he's injured. He may never – I mean, where do you fit him when he comes back?
But he's your best defensive outfielder.
Oh, there's no question about that.
He's your best defender.
He's just been so substandard offensively. I'm not saying there's not a spot for him, but who do you bump to make room? Somebody's got to go if you're going to put Ender on your roster. It'd probably be Joyce, wouldn't it? And he's been pretty doggone functional
whenever
himself.
Whenever you give him a chance to play, he's been doing great things.
But when the Dodgers beat up on the Braves, like I said, that was a different Braves team than what we're seeing right now. The lineup's been adjusted. Austin Riley's in. Soroka was not yet humming back in that time. I don't even think he was in the starting rotation yet when they played out in L.A. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, I think I honestly believe the Braves 1-8, they're everyday position players, and that takes into account a platoon at catcher with Flowers and McCann, is on par with the Dodgers. The Dodgers pitching 1-13 or whatever,
whoa,
the Braves are not on par with that.
Yeah.
They're not on par with that. And it would take a couple moves at least to get there. But sometimes you don't have to have the best pitching and the best 1-8 to get it done and win. You need one or the other,
and enough of the second
category. That's kind of a gross simplification. That's really simple baseball algebra. But, you know, you don't have to have the best pitching staff in the National League to represent the National League in the World Series, but you have to have some other things line up. And I think that – what are their power numbers in the last 5 weeks? They're crazy numbers.
Oh, my goodness.
They're averaging almost two home runs a game, right?
Yeah. I mean, what the Braves are doing offensively has just been amazing, and everybody's getting into it.
Yep.
You're not just leaning. You can't just, you know, slow down one person or a couple of people. Everybody is producing for this team offensively. Mm-hmm. They're watching tonight, watching the boys, I guess Philadelphia and the Nationals are playing a doubleheader. They haven't played two games. They're playing, and Max Scherzer did get the start in this second game. And we saw what happened with him yesterday. Some people saw he's in the batting cage bunting. Foul tips a bunt back in it, like it broke his nose or something. And if you saw a look at him, it's pretty scary around his eyes. But he is starting that game tonight. Kind of tell you some things about Washington Nationals and what they're trying to do to try to keep pace. They've fallen behind once again. That team has been such a disappointment over the years. Everyone felt like it should have been their year several years ago. And for whatever reason, they don't get there. They got strong pitching, but other things happens with this team.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they make the playoffs 3 years running and get bounced in the first round each time, or was it 4 years?
I think it's three.
But their pitching's nuts. You look at Scherzer and Strasburg. Of course, he has had health issues over the course of his career. And Gio's not there anymore. Gio Gonzalez, but, I mean, he was very good for the Nationals. But they just have not been a postseason team in recent years, and they don't have the look this year like they're going to be even in the postseason conversation.
They won the first game over the Phillies today 6-2, and they're playing the second game. They're making up both of those games for the one that got watched out last night. So I don't know, we're too early in the season to be scoreboard watching, but that's the team that's closest by, and since we're in first place, and that's a great place to be with a little bit of a lead. We just want to pad that lead as the Braves get ready to wrap up this series with the Mets and then hit the road for a little while. Some things that we're watching for. The bench has been strong. And I tell you something else, Matt, defensively, the infield, this Braves infield, and we've seen a lot of incarnations of the Braves infield over the years. Some people think this could be the strongest. What do you mean?
They have wonderful flexibility, too. I mean, Camargo has not swung the stick this year to date. On par with what he did last year, but you can plug him in at really any infield position. I don't know about catcher. He's even played a little bit outfield. Charlie Culberson's been money so many times. That bench, Joyce is on the bench now too. Inciarte may end up on the bench when he's deemed healthy again. The Braves position players, they're in really, really good shape. And that's why I keep saying I think – they're closer to competing with the Dodgers in the postseason than maybe a lot of other people might think. They've got to add some pitching. One way or another, it's going to take more pitching to close that gap.
I think the infield is something that helped also, along with Brian McCann. The infield also helped persuade Keuchel to come because he is
a ground ball pitcher.
Just like Greg Maddux.
Right.
You know, he pitches ground balls and he wants to make sure if he's putting them on the ground, people are making plays. And I think that's the other thing that he saw that was quite appealing.
Yeah, and I think he was probably, from reading between the lines, several stories I've seen. I have not talked to Dallas Keuchel, obviously, since the move was made 10 days or so ago. But he just likes the look of the organization, the general youth. I said earlier, there's so many ascending players. And he's played, obviously, with Brian McCann in Houston, won a World Series together. So he has some familiarity there with one of his battery mates. It's a good situation for Dallas Keuchel, good situation for the Braves. Everybody looks like they're going to be a winner, I would think.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing him make his start Friday night. That would be great if he comes in, and he's shown great form in his two starts he had, two minor league starts, and looks like he's ready to go. So we see what happens as Dansby Swanson gets a base hit there, speaking of the Braves infield. And a guy who seemed like he's not pressed so much as he did when he first came up. Like he had to be the savior of the franchise. And he's kind of letting the game come to him.
He looks comfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, at times last year in particular, he looked like you suggested. He's like, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. I got to get it done. He just didn't look like he was playing the game comfortably. Yeah. Now he looks like, this is what I do. Yeah. I do it well. I'm going to do it every day, and I'm going to do it better than I did it before.
So, and talk about a guy who, you know, basically had the Braves almost move to him. Marietta kid. We had his dad on Sunday morning for Father's Day. He talked about what he, you know, how he says, what else do you want to see him accomplish? He says, hey, I'm fine with what he's doing right now. I mean, I'm home, not far from home, and I'm watching my
kid. Don't get greedy and ask for more than what you got. You got a pretty good thing going right now.
You know what I mean? My kid's playing Major League Baseball.
In his hometown.
How about that?
Yeah. I'm good.
There we go. And there's Freddie Freeman with a home run. All right, we're up 2-1. Back to talk more Braves baseball. Matt Simon joins us next. Sam and Matt Winklejohn, Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine flows up in the Kia Studios in primetime. Shout out to Greg Clarkson, my usually sidekick on the weekend mornings. I'll see him Saturday morning. You guys check us out 6 o'clock this coming weekend. He'll be here. But Matt Winklejohn is here with me now. We've been talking about Braves baseball. And joining in the conversation now, going to join us on the waitfor.com hotline, a guy who keeps up on all things baseball, Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions. Mark, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Radio 929 The Game on primetime, man.
I love how we timed this to Freddie Freeman hitting a home run against the Mets.
How about that?
how about that? What timing, right?
That was by design.
Yep, that's the best left-handed hitter against left-handed pitching in baseball, year in and year out. He's fantastic, and against the Mets, he just seems to take it up another notch.
He has done that. Man, you were thinking about power numbers?
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, we were talking a little bit already about the Braves, and they've had a power surge, an offensive surge, period, really, the last several weeks. I'm kind of curious, Mark, if I said to you, asked you the question, what's more important, team on base percentage or team home run total? Which of those two do you think is more important, more likely to lead to success?
On base percentage is usually the number that fares the best, but boy, it seems in this era that you have to be able to slug the ball out of the park. In the end, the object of the game is to score, but also not to make outs. And the more you can not make outs, the better. And that's why on-base percentage tends to be the best. But a good mix, like there are advanced statistics, like there's an advanced statistic, there's OPS that combines the two, and then there's another advanced stat, WOBA, that combines the two, where OPS treats a double as twice as important as a single. WOBA does it a little bit differently. It doesn't necessarily put that kind of value on it. And they're both good evaluators, certainly, of offensive skill.
Well, it doesn't surprise me to hear what you say. I mean, you look at the two best teams in the National League. Record-wise right now, the Dodgers are number one in OPS. The Braves are number two. The Braves are number two in runs scored. The Braves are number two in batting average. The Braves are number two in on-base percentage, with the Dodgers being number one. Yet the Braves are fifth in home runs, even with the power surge that they've had here the last month plus.
Can I just – sorry to interrupt, but I'm anticipating
no problem.
My question. What I think is good here is that it doesn't necessarily feel that fluke-ish, other than maybe Austin Riley being a little bit better than he actually is. The Braves, we have a stat, hard hit rate, which is how often when you hit the ball, there are a couple ways to look at it, but how often when you hit the ball did you hit it hard? And the criteria for that vary depending on whether it was a ground ball, line drive, fly ball, down the line, middle of the field. But the Braves have the highest percentage of at-bats with a hard hit ball. And I think if you're at the top of that list, right now it's the Braves, the Dodgers, the Rangers, and the Twins. That's indicative of being a pretty good offense, too.
I remember my high school baseball coach used to say, as long as you hit the ball hard, more often than not, you're going to fare well.
Right, exactly. Like a hard hit ball is depending on what kind of numbers I guess you use, has a batting average potentially in like the 600s. Hit the ball hard as often as you can. Sometimes you're going to have bad days, but most of the time you're going to have pretty good days.
And that's what the Braves have been doing. We're spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Mark Simon. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social. You can follow him there at Mark Simon Says. And, Mark, you had something you put him just a couple of minutes ago about the highest OPS versus left-hand pitching, and you had Freddie Freeman there, and you had some pretty good company you listed him there with as well.
Yeah, so that's left-handed hitters. I should have specified that. It's left-handed hitters versus left-handed pitching. And Freddie Freeman's 9-11. Charlie Blackman is second at 883, and then Gallo and the star of stars, Cody Bellinger, at 868. I think the most impressive thing there is that he's got a pretty good lead. 30 points is nothing to sneeze at. It's tough for any lefty to hit a lefty. And he, I'm watching, and I'm amateur eye here. I don't pretend to be a scout of any kind, but he makes it look really easy. When he bats against a left-handed pitcher, there's no fear factor. It doesn't matter. He beat Hader, right, earlier this year. Yeah. He's a guy who it just feels like you can demand extra base hit for him, and he'll deliver. And it doesn't matter who's pitching. It's fantastic.
He's a joy to watch. I don't care if he's hitting lefties or righties. I just know Freddie Freeman's a joy to watch, and I'm glad he's on the team here in Atlanta.
Mark, Matt said something earlier, and I think we kind of figured he's saying that it looks like, based on what we saw this past weekend, Braves and Phillies, that the Braves are going to take this division. Phillies looked so invincible when they played the Braves the first week of the season. Where's this Phillies team at right now? Because they didn't look like it when they leaving this city when they left here Sunday. Just got pounded Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, they've been kind of all over the place. It's funny. The media seems to dwell on their flaws. Surprise, surprise, Philadelphia media and fans being tough on their team. But I think they're waiting for Bryce Harper to be the guy who hits 300 with a 450 on base and a 550 slugging to win an MVP. And then they're kind of hoping with Jay Bruce that they got something there. The McCutchen injury certainly set them back a little bit. They also haven't gotten what you would have thought they would have gotten from Aaron Nola yet this season. His ERA is near 5. They, like many teams, are in need of starting pitching to round out their staff and probably an experienced closer too to go with Hector, given the way that one of those games against the Braves went. I would say they're very up and down. I would still say that they're one of the 5 best teams or one of the 6 best teams in the National League, but they've been a little inconsistent.
Are either Washington or the Mets capable of becoming viable in it?
I would put my stock in Washington before I would view it with the Mets. The Mets have some flaws that I don't know are necessarily correctable. They also have some significant injuries. Certainly Syndergaard, one, Familia, another. He's been mediocre this season. Brandon Nimmo, they found out they're sitting for a month now. They're not a good defensive team, and it just feels to me like there are going to be games that they're going to lose because of their defense that are going to be taken away from them in the win column, wins that they should get that wouldn't happen to a team like Atlanta. I think that Washington has Strasburg and Scherzer, even with the black eye. I don't know if you saw that today. They have Trey Turner healthy now. Rendon's one of the best hitters in baseball. They're waiting for Victor Robles to get hot, but if he does, look out. And their bullpen can't possibly be as bad as it's been. It has to get better, and they can add pieces potentially to make it better. And I don't know that I would put my stock in either of them, but I would put it in the Braves before I put it in the Mets.
Wow, spending time on the waitfor.com out with Mark Simon, and he always comes up with a lot of stuff. And I know we're looking at the Dodgers as a tough team. We also got some teams in the Central that could possibly give the Braves some problems, the Cubs. And, of course, they got a familiar face that they've had at Craig Kimbrel, who hasn't joined the team yet. Talk about what we may see the fact that they're adding him. Is he the piece that they really need to win their division and be a factor?
So it seems like they needed a closer to kind of round the team out. I feel like they're a step below the Dodgers, but they're at least within striking distance. I feel like the Dodgers are kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. The thing that they've got going for them is they do have, in theory, good starting pitching with Hamels, Henderson, healthy, Quintana, Darvish, and Lester. That's 5 veterans that you would expect good things from. Kimbrough gives them the second guy in the bullpen that they can pair with whoever they want to pair with, whether it be Cishek or Kinsler or whichever guy they think they can get the most out of. Their lineup is I think, pretty good, even though they rank fifth in scoring at the moment. I think it can be better. They have a good defensive team at certain spots, shortstop and first base and right field in particular. They and Kimbrel gives them, I think, what they felt they needed. They needed a sense of when the game gets to the ninth inning that the game's going to be over. And I think when he's on, you have that sense with him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mark, we thank you for joining us and then bringing some stats and bringing some numbers that help us make sense of what's happening with this baseball season at this point as the Braves have a 2-1 lead. Thanks, as always. Great spending some time with you.
You got it.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. That's Mark Simon. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Mark A. Simon Says. With Sports Info Solution, keeps up a whole lot of baseball stuff. Coming to the top of the hour, we're going to get into the Hawks and play GM for this team. What would we do right now with the options that we have? And we're less than 24 hours away from the NBA draft. What kind of moves could they make? That's coming up. Sam Crenshaw, Matt Winklejohn in the Kia Studios on a Wednesday night. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.